Ultras. Breed of rowdy soccer supporters.
Alive.
Living, not dead, alert and active, animated. With your hosts, Peter Brown, Uncle Ed, and contributions from Yankee Boy. Call 323-927-1455 to join the show. The chat room is open, so start chatting. The one and only, Ultras Alive, starts now.
All right, how's everybody doing tonight? I am your host of this amazing show, Peter Brown. I was about to say joined by my partner in crime, but they still haven't let Uncle Ed back into the country yet. He still he says he's going to try to cross the border tonight and make his way back from Ecuador. I'm not sure if he can get across get through immigration though. You know, after getting kicked out and all. But hopefully Uncle Ed will be back with us next week. But this week, we are really excited to talk some Miami FC soccer with you. And we're going to talk to in just a minute with their newest player, Richie Ryan. So if you guys, any Miami fans, you want to call in, join the show, talk to Richie, 323-927-1455. The chat room is also open. So we're going to talk about Miami FC and get to know Richie a little bit. Plus, in the second half of the show, we'll talk a little bit about the Strikers. Fort Lauderdale Strikers beating Rio OKC and on the road. And then also we could talk a little bit about a game I went to go see, which is the Strikers U23 team playing against Miami United, our friends there at Miami United, fourth division, NPSL soccer. Miami U23 beat pretty bad. So we could talk a little bit about all that in the second half of the show. And as always, we've got an outstanding Spit and Sparks coming. And no surprise, it's got a Puerto Rico slant to it after the U.S. played in Puerto Rico. So we're going to get to all that in about 20 seconds.
Global Scarves, the premier supplier of custom soccer scarves across the United States. For all custom scarf needs for your soccer group, go to www.globalscarves.com. You will not be disappointed. Global Scarves, the true icon of support.
All right, so now we are going to welcome on our guest, Richie Ryan. He's now playing for Miami FC, struggling Miami FC. He's our new star Irish player that's playing here in South Florida, and he's going to see if he can help turn things around. How are you doing tonight, Richie?
I'm very well, thanks, Peter. Very well.
All right. Great to have that kind of an accent on this show. It just makes it sound a little cooler, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like there's too many of these accents around South Florida.
No, we got a lot of Brits, especially up in Broward County where I'm doing the show from. But I don't know a ton of Irish, floating around.
I'm sure over a period of time, I'm sure I'll bump into one or two.
Yeah, I mean, they're always around when it's that time of year when everybody wants to get drunk and on St. Patrick's Day and all that stuff. But everybody is Irish then.
Pre-season at that time.
Exactly. All right, hey, let's start off and let's let everybody get to know you a little bit, talk a little bit about your background, talk about how you got to Miami and all that stuff. But before we get to Miami, let's start off in your formative years back when you were just learning the game in Ireland. Did you always know that football was something you wanted to do, Richie?
I think so, Peter. Yeah, from a very young age, it was always the main sport in my eyes. Being in Ireland growing up, you watch a lot of the English soccer, and you support Celtic, Man United, or Liverpool generally. So I grew up watching teams like that, and then I started playing at a competitive level from, like, under nines, under tens, and I ended up moving to a team in Dublin, which was probably about an hour and a half from Tipperary, where I'm from, and I played up there for 4 years, and that just gave me the opportunity to be spotted by scouts in the UK, and then I was fortunate enough to sign a professional contract with Sunderland for 4 years, and then for the rest of my career, you're probably going to need about 6 or 7 hours to list everything else that happens.
Yeah, we don't need to go through.
That was my younger days. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at what age were you when you kind of realized to yourself that, hey, I can make a living at this?
Probably about 14 or 15. That was when some real interest came from the UK, where clubs wanted to take me over at the age of 16 and had me sign professionally for them. So probably when I was about 14, 15.
Man, just thinking back of what I was maybe doing when I was 14 or 15, it wasn't thinking about making a career out of something. I think I was probably popping some pimples or something.
I think it's just the difference in the systems to the UK and to America, obviously.
Yeah.
I would say the American kids are probably a lot more intelligent than what those Irish and UK ones are, because we go and play football when we're 16 and you go and carve out an education for yourselves in college and university and stuff. So it's just two very different systems.
Well, it's worked out pretty good for you. As you said, you know, you started in England, you played a good portion of your career in Ireland I think you won two titles. And then you decided, let's jump forward, and you decided to go to Ottawa and join the Fury in the North American Soccer League. I mean, that's a big change. How did you come about making that decision to join a second division NASL club?
I think I got to the stage of my career. I was 28 at the time, and I just fancied a new challenge. And fortunate enough for me, my partner at the time, my wife now, she was open to traveling as well. And obviously with football, it gives you that opportunity to travel around to different places and learn a different way of playing the game.
And how did you like it up there in Ottawa? It's a little chilly.
The winter time can get a little bit chilly, a lot more chillier than what Miami is. So we've discarded with all our jackets and all our coats and stuff like that. I don't think we'll be needing them here anytime soon.
No, I don't think so. I think we get a couple of days of cold weather, and even then, I mean, if you've been up in Ottawa, you probably don't even need a jacket.
Yeah.
You're probably good to go.
I don't think your cold days will be anything compared to the cold days up there, Peter.
No. All you need is your swim trunks, your flip flops, and your set for down here. You know.
Well, luckily that's all we have in the cases, and a couple of pair of football boots as well. So I should be okay.
Right. Well, you know, this season, after you left Ottawa, you found yourself in Jacksonville with Tony Miola and our friend, assistant coach Jim Rooney. We love Jim Rooney here. And with a blink of an eye, it seems like you're on a plane headed to Miami. And reports are Miami paid a huge transfer fee for you, around $750,000. I don't know if that's true or not. But, I mean, and from what I've read, an article about where they went into detail interviewing you about it, and it seemed like Miami was pretty bullish about bringing your talents to South Beach. I mean, one minute you're settling in Jacksonville with your family, the next you're being called into the office to talk to Tony Miola. Take us into that meeting and give us an idea of how this all went down.
Yeah, no, I think that's just the beauty of the game. You tend to not know what's going to happen from one day to the next, and that's what happened last week. One day I was training in Jacksonville preparing for Minnesota away, and the next day I'm in Miami preparing for Carolina away. So that's how easy things can change.
But reports were that Miami was asking about you and making offers, and then Jacksonville just made some outlandish number, and then Miami said okay. I mean, what was your reaction when this went down? I mean, you have to go back and tell your wife that you just unpacked and you just moved in somewhere in Jacksonville. Now you got to pack it back all up and head down south.
Well, it was actually it all happened in my apartment. So my wife was there as well. So she was in on everything. I think the club gave me the opportunity to speak to Miami, and once I spoke to my representatives and they spoke to Miami, it's now a new challenge that I'm happy to be a part of and to try and work to make us turn these results around to get us up the league.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're excited to have you down here. I mean, I'm curious. You came here. You got a chance to play in one game, and then the Miami has a bye week, so you had a little time. Did you get a chance to go sightseeing in Miami a little yet?
I've actually just flew back in from Jacksonville, to be honest, Peter.
You're going back and forth.
We've just had a couple of days off. The manager has given us a couple of days off, so I had a chance to go back up and pack up the apartment and get my wife and kids, our wife and kids, down with me. So now we can finally settle in properly.
Is your family excited to live in Miami for the next 2 years? I mean, it's a 2 year contract, right?
Yeah, it's over a 2 year contract. Yeah,
over 2 years.
I don't think we had the opportunity to settle in Jacksonville because it was just like
right.
a quick pitch stop. So, I think we're all excited. I don't see how you couldn't be excited to live in Miami and to get to work down in a place like this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Miami's got all the glitz and glamour, kind of a cool place to live. You know, I'm sure. Have you been to Miami before this time? Before
I've been once before, Peter. Yeah, just briefly, just for a quick couple of days. That was it.
All right. Well, I think you'll enjoy it down here. I live closer to Fort Lauderdale, closer to where the Strikers are, but I grew up down in Miami, so all my life I've been around here. So one thing you got to try, I don't know if any of your players have already gotten you some Cuban food, but you got to get yourself some good black beans and rice.
Well, we have a couple of Cubans in the team, so I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure once I get to know them properly, they'll treat us to some of that.
You got a player on the team that everybody calls the Cuban Messi.
So I believe. I've seen him a little bit in training. He's got flashes of it. I'll give him that. His English isn't great, so our communication is a little bit suspect sometimes.
How's your Spanish?
Probably as good as good as Ariel's English.
so it's a challenge.
It's a challenge. But I think once you're on the same wavelength and how you want to play the game, then I don't think really. Speaking a language has that much difference.
No, I mean I've seen a lot of Brazilian players and come in here and everybody seems to learn a few soccer words. So whether it be in English or Spanish, you guys will have I'm sure no problem. Just learn a couple soccer words and that's it.
Yeah, a few hey. Soccer words along with a few swear words and everybody seems
there
to be
you
okay.
go. as long as you're all cursing in the same language, you're on the same page.
I think
hey,
whatever language the courses seem to be in, I think everybody sort of knows what they're saying.
There you go. With Miami FC, you find yourself in a similar situation that you faced in Ottawa, joining a young, struggling club. Does it feel a little like deja vu, like you've been here before?
A little bit. I think I said in an interview the other day, it's one of the things that I didn't really think too much about when I made the decision to come here. It's a situation I've been in before when I was at Ottawa, and something that I think we can turn around by getting one or two positive results. That's how quick things can turn in this league. So hopefully we can start that this Saturday against Edmonton.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you feel any added pressure on yourself to turn this team around, seeing how badly the team actually went after you and wanted you? And do you feel some pressure like this? A lot of this sits on your shoulders?
No, not really. Not really. I think football is a team sport. So one individual isn't going to get you in trouble and one individual isn't going to get you out of trouble. So we've got to come together as a team and make sure we work hard on the pitch for each other. And I have no doubt if we do that week in, week out, then things will turn very quickly.
Well, let's talk about the team a little bit. You helped Ottawa make it to the championship game last year. Does this Miami team have the talent to make a similar run?
Yeah, I think so, I think individually, I think anybody that's watched Miami so far this season can tell they've got a lot of technical ability within the team. I think I actually seen the first two games that they played this season, and I think the third game was against Jacksonville, who I felt on the night they were probably unfortunate not to get something out of the game. But the first two games, they lost two penalties very late in the game, not to win the game. So that's how fine a line it is between winning and drawing and losing games in this league. Every game is very tight, and it's just one mistake could cost you. And I think over the last over the last few weeks. That's what's happened with Miami, and hopefully we can change them little mistakes over the coming weeks.
Yeah, Miami does definitely have a tendency of giving up that late penalty that they need again to get out of that. But it feels a little bit like some of that's just kind of the woes of and the issues of a young team. You know, everybody's still getting to know each other as a brand new team.
Yeah, it's tough. I don't envy any manager that has to do that to build a team from scratch. I would imagine it's a very difficult job to, especially you want to have success straight away, but you've got so many things to take into consideration. It's not going to happen overnight, and you've got to be very patient, waiting for everything to gel together.
Talk a little bit about the manager, Alessandro Nesta. I mean, that's a pretty world class guy to work with.
Yeah, of course. I think I said the other day as well, if you were to ask any player in North America, and I think I even included Ireland and the UK as well, if they got the chance to play for Alessandro Nesta, they'd snap your hand off. a chance to play under somebody who's won World Cups, Champions Leagues, and everything like that. That's the highest level of football in the world. So a chance to play and learn under somebody like that, it's a privilege, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, he's also learning on the job at being his first year as a manager. I know he's put a lot of it on his shoulder. I have a chance to, you know, talk to him after every game, and you know, he's put a lot of it on his shoulders right now. You know, how do you think you know, he's doing as a young manager? I mean, you know, you said, you know, anybody would like to play for him, but I mean, he's still a guy that's learning on the job as well.
Yeah, of course he's doing his apprenticeship now again as a manager. So it's like when you first become a player, you've got to do your apprenticeship and learn the ropes to become a seasoned pro, and that's what the manager has to do now. So he gets experience as a manager, and I'm sure the more experience he gets, well, it'll take him to the next level over a period of time. But I think the manager can only do so much during the week, and then it comes down to the players on the field. So I think as players, we need to take responsibility as well, and make sure that we're doing things right on the pitch, and the results will turn around fairly quick.
Yeah, I mean, some of those players in that midfield, I mean, the midfield has been a little bit of an issue, I think, at times. I mean, now you're in there to help shore up that midfield. I mean, break down a little bit of you know, the some of your teammates and the strengths and weaknesses.
I think there's far more strengths than what there is weaknesses. Like I said, I feel as if we're probably in a false position to where I think we should be in the league after the first few games of the season. Like I said, there was just a fine line between winning and losing in a few games, and that sometimes you just need that bit of luck to change. You know, we had it last season in Ottawa. I think we finished ninth in the table in the spring season, and we finished ninth top overall, and we went on a 23-24 game unbeaten streak, and it wasn't that we changed a whole pile of things or the way that we played. It was just the luck started to go our way a little bit, and boys started to score goals, which we obviously know that we need. We need to start sticking the ball in the back of the net and making sure we keep clean sheets at the other end. And once we started last week with a good clean sheet against Carolina, we need to build on that. Now we need to be strong defensively and then make sure things gel going forward. And then, like I said already, the results will come quick.
You know, a man with your experience, I would imagine you come into this locker room and you're an instant leader. Is that? Do you feel like that is your position and that's expected of you?
I don't know. Like I'm a fairly quiet person off the field, but it seems to be that when I go on the field, I seem to get all my talking done on the field rather than when I'm away from training or games. I don't know. I feel as if you talk on the field, you can help each other a lot. And save yourself doing a lot more running than what you need to do. So I think if you see me, I'm not the quickest in the world. So I try and talk and help people with my head rather than my body. So Hopefully I can bring that experience onto the field over the coming weeks, and that's going to benefit us going forward.
All right. Hey, if anybody wants to call in, 323-927-1455. Once you get on the line, press the number 1. That will let me know you want to get on the line. All right, there we go. See, I saw somebody was in the queue, and I just want to give them a little hint. So we got a caller here, Richie, for you, somebody from the 305.
No problem, yeah.
What do you got for us?
Hey, it's Lee here, long-time Days Brigade member.
Sorry?
So, Richie, yeah. First of all, welcome to Miami.
Thanks, I think I speak for all
the supporters when we're thrilled to have you here. The season hasn't been going our way so far. How have you found the team and being Miami so far? Enjoying it?
Yeah, so far so good. Yeah, we had a tough week. We had a tough week of training last week. I think that the manager demands high standards on the training pitch every day, which is brilliant to see, because as a player you need to be on top form every day, and you need to make sure that your teammates are on top form every day, because within the squad we've got great competition for places. So in my eyes, if you're not performing every day in training, then you probably don't deserve to play. So the manager demands that everybody works hard day in, day out, and it's been good so far.
So, Richie, how is your Spanish?
Not so good.
So do you guys speak in English, when you're training? Is English the language that you use, or is it a mix?
Yeah, it's a bit of a mix. I think the manager's bilingual, so he's able to speak to boys in a couple of different languages, which is good. My Spanish isn't so good, so...
I sympathise with you there, mate. On a personal level, I'm a Welshman, actually, so for me it's nice to have a fellow Celt involved with the team. It gives it a little bit more of a bond.
Part of it.
The Spanish will come eventually, I'm sure.
Well, we're going to be here for the next few years, so I think we should probably maybe take a few lessons.
I can teach you some words, but no phrases that I don't think I can repeat on air, so that might be for another time. But I just want to say I'm from the supporters group, the Dave Brigade, and, we really get behind the team. There's not many of us, but we're passionate about the soccer. Some of the guys are coming to it relatively new, and, we need something to cheer for. So if you can give us 3 wins in the next 3 games, that would be fantastic.
That'll work for you, and it'll definitely work for us as well.
All right. Thanks a lot, Lee.
Thanks very much.
You've got 3 games in 7 days. That's quite an introduction right there to Miami.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough week for us, but one that we've got to take one game at a time. I think we can't really think about having 3 games in a week. I think we've got to look at Edmonton on Saturday, and I think I've said every club I've been at in the NASL, it's important that you win your home games. And
yeah, absolutely.
Not alone just for us, but for the supporters as well, because football's a relatively new sport in America. So it's going to grow, but it's important for fans that they have a successful team, because that will mean their fan base will grow and grow as well.
All right. Hey, it looks like we got another caller here from with a 786 area code. Caller, what do you got for us? Are you there, caller? All right, I'll put him back on hold. So, like we said, you've got two NASL games and then a U.S. Open Cup game. So I hope you're fit and ready to go. Next game, like we said, is Saturday at FIU, 8 p.m. against FC Edmonton. Edmonton, they're playing pretty well this spring. So is this the weekend where Miami gets their first win for their home fans?
Well, I hope so. That's what we're going to be aiming for anyway. I think it's obviously going to be a tough game for Edmonton. They've had a good start to the season. I think they're sitting second in the table. I played against them maybe two and a half weeks ago for Jacksonville. So I sort of have an idea of what they expect. They're a very strong team defensively, and they have been for the last 2 or 3 seasons that I've been here. So it's going to be tough for us to break them down, but we've got to be patient in possession, and once we get them one or two chances, then it's important that we take them.
All right. Hey, Richie, we're real excited to have you down here in South Florida. Get out there, go see the sights, take your daughter and family out to the beach, and get to know Miami. And we look forward to seeing you beat up on Edmonton Saturday night at FIU Stadium, 8 p.m., guys. Thanks a lot, Richie.
I look forward to it. Thanks very much, Peter. Thank you.
All right.
Take care.
Richie Ryan there. Richie Ryan there. Your new Irish midfielder for Miami FC. Looks like the caller finally wanted to talk, but it might have been a little too late. Let's see if he has anything to say. Caller, you just missed Richie.
Yeah, just my luck. Hey, Peter, it's Mitchell.
Hey, Mitch. How you doing? So what do you think of Mitch being the president of the Dade Brigade? What do you think of Richie Ryan as your new player, $750,000 player?
Yeah, so caught the last tail end there of Lee's call, and so I'm not sure what was discussed before, but confirmed the 750K is a confirmed number, huh?
I'm not saying it's confirmed, but it's all over the place. So it's the reported number. It's as confirmed as you can get. I mean, it's on several sites.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not saying it's gospel, but it's a big amount of money that they got for him. I mean, there's a pretty good, for anybody that wants to read up on it, I was trying to lead Richie down the path, but go to the 42.ie, and there's a pretty good article there with Richie. It's an Irish website where, I mean, he pretty much lays out exactly step by step what happened and the amount of money that was offered. And he doesn't actually confirm the amount of money, but it was enough to go, wow.
Yeah, 750K would definitely make me go wow. I wanted to hear the process, you know, how he was approached, and but it sounds like it might be covered in an article. I'll have to go check it out. But
yeah.
You know, in answer to your question, the folks from Jacksonville seem to have thought very highly of him. He came with a good reputation. If the team is looking at him as that needed new blood and someone to potentially wear the armband, is from what I'm hearing, then we'll see. It's yet to be told. We've seen one game where he was in, and I'm excited because I think that the team is definitely showing that they're not willing to sit on their laurels and just be what they've been, that they want to be something bigger and better. And that's exciting to me. I'm happy to see the moves. Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the one positive thing is no matter how much money it was definitely enough for Jacksonville to sell him. And Jacksonville was planning on building their team around him. They had him for a couple of years. So it was enough money for them to say, well, we have to take this offer. It's serious. And, but it definitely looks good when your club is willing to put their money where their, where their mouth is. I mean, things aren't going well. They're not going in the right direction. So let's get the player that we think can help turn things around. So, and midfield has definitely been an issue for this team.
Yeah. Especially, down the middle is where we really need some help. I'm kind of happy with, the wing play, from the midfield, and centrally, I think is an area that need to be shored up, but it looks like they did that. Going back to the numbers, I'm no numbers guy when it comes to salaries and transfer numbers and things like that. But 750K is a pretty decent number for NASL, and I'm wondering, and again, not to discount the move or Richie himself, but I'm wondering, if that money was spent elsewhere, do you think? And I'm going to ask you your opinion. Do you think that that's some kind of money that could lure an MLS level player, let's just say that Richie is not in the conversation, and never was hypothetically, is that something that can lure an MLS level talent, and not to say that Richie's not, to the team, the $750,000 transfer fee?
Well, yeah, I mean, if it's my team, I'd rather see, you know, with all due respect, he was a great guest and it was great talking to him, but I'd rather see him spread that money out, get a few players. I mean, you can really transform your team with $750,000. I mean, you can get a few players, good quality players for that amount.
Right.
So, but, you know, and the thing is, Richie's not a name that you're really going to use to market the team. So it's not, you're just banking on him making you a winner because he's not, you know, a brand name. So it's totally banking on him turning the team around, doing what he did in Ottawa, where he's a captain and became a,
right.
you know, 2015 best 11 player. So, you know, that's what they're counting on. But me personally, I'd rather them spend it on a few players. And, yeah, get some MLS players, get some international players, whoever. I don't care where they're coming from. But I think you could have gotten 2 to 3 players, good, really good players for that amount of money.
And going back to what you were talking about, you know, the name that you're going to market the team across, I'd rather 11, you know, gritty, hardcore guys that are going to win me games than 11 cover models that will, you know, sell a ticket.
Winning sells a lot, right?
Yeah, yeah. Especially down here. I mean, you know, we know how Miami, you know, the fickle lady she is. You better win or attention's going to go elsewhere. There's a lot of attention to be had elsewhere. So if you're going to put the product out there, it better be a successful and winning one. And that'll pull him to the stadium.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's see what he could do this weekend against Edmonton. Edmonton's a good quality team. They're sitting there, and I think in second place. So they're having a good run this spring. So really, you're at this point for Miami, you're just kind of trying to tune up. Only a couple games left in the season, and get yourself ready for a good run in the fall. So you'll have plenty of time to get used to this team and get some games in now, and then, you know, a lot of training during the month off. So let's see what he can do.
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting Saturday night.
Definitely excited for Saturday night. And then, you know, you got the Open Cup thereafter, and then, you know, another home game right after that. So it's going to be some interesting next couple days coming up for Miami FC. And I'm looking to at least losing my voice 3 or 4 times along the way.
All right. Hey, sounds good, Mitch. Thanks for calling in.
Take care, Peter. Have a good one.
All right. All right. That's Mitch. He is the president of Day Brigade. So, go over and check them out. Day Brigade, they're there in the end zone underneath the scoreboard at FIU. So go hang out with those guys, jump around. And I'm sure they throw down a few drinks too. So you can have a drink with them and enjoy the game. So, all right. Well, that wraps up everything I had about Miami FC. So we will be back and play some Yankee Boy in just a few minutes.
Global Scars provides custom scars to supporters groups, youth soccer clubs, high schools, and much, much more for all your fundraising and branding needs. Contact your local sales rep to learn more information. Global Scars, the true icon of support. GlobalScarves.com.
Who are you?
The Tailgate Show with host Chris Morazzo.
Kind of a comedy show.
Well, we're trying to be fun.
Justin.
Hey, barkeep. Can I get a beer?
And Paulie.
It's going to be big this week.
Listen to The Tailgate Show every Thursday at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com/954tailgate. Follow The Tailgate Show at facebook.com/TheTailgateShow.
That's just what we need, more of me trying to kiss men.
Ultras alive.
You're listening to Ultras Alive. Follow us on Facebook at Ultras Alive and on Twitter at Ultras Alive Show. Call 323-927-1455 to join the show.
Now back to Peter and Uncle Ed.
And now it's time for Spittin' Sparks with the OYB J Yankee Boy Long.
Anybody who listens to our show or who's ever read any of my comments posted online or read any of the pieces that I had done with IMS in my previous life, realizes that I'm a huge U.S. soccer fan. I'm also a huge Puerto Rican football fan. I'm talking massive. Yesterday's friendly that took place in Juan Ramon Lubriel Stadium in Bayamon between the U.S. men's national team and the Puerto Rican men's national team, the first time that the two senior teams have ever met in history, was an exciting afternoon around my house for so many different reasons. I could go on and on and talk all night about the different facets that were of interest to me personally, and maybe I would think would be of interest to some of our listeners. But no, I've got to narrow it down, so that's what I must do. Florida and Puerto Rico, for obvious geographical reasons, cultural reasons, have always had a lot of connections, always been very interconnected, or said in Spanish, with an enlace. On the Puerto Rican side yesterday that faced Klinsmann's U.S. side, it was predominantly made of college players and amateur players. The side only featured four current pros. One of those pros, we gotta mention, a Tampa Bay Rowdy, Mr. Jeremy Hall. That's all the love we're going to give Tampa Bay and the Rowdies for now, but thank you for loaning him to my adopted national team side. But let's focus in, more specifically, since we're a SoFla-based podcast, on the FIU guys who got called up and capped yesterday. Two of them the first time with the senior national team. Let's look at FIU guys like midfielder Darren Rios, who came on as a substitute. Let's look at the starters like Patrick Lopez, who was playing left back and had quite a lot of work on his hands trying to defend DeAndre Yedlin. And let's talk about that cracker of a goal. World-class finish by Luis Betancourt. FIU had a major presence. The Miami University played a key role in Puerto Rico's efforts yesterday. Some of those guys have links to coaches that have been involved with the Strikers. Hey, we know that FIU and the Strikers have played different exhibition friendlies to help the Strikers get ready. But a guy like Rios used to play under Victor Pastora with Weston FC. As if that wasn't enough, as if helping Puerto Rico manage a very respectable 3-1 loss to a team of U.S. players based in Europe and Liga MX, FIU still contributed more to the cause of Puerto Rico's national team sports. They just managed to send two young ladies that played a key role in helping Puerto Rico qualify for this year's Olympics in women's volleyball. So, hey, SoFla, Florida in general, and PR, the two are tied together. For us Puerto Rican national team sports programs fans, lucky for us that there is that connection. Echando chispas. Holler at you later, players.
The thoughts and opinions of Jay Yankee Boy Long and Spittin' Sparks do not necessarily represent those of Ultras Alive or its sponsors. Thanks for listening.
All right, good stuff there by Yankee. Hey, you know what? I gotta give Yankee a hand. Yankee just dropped so much FIU knowledge and local South Florida soccer knowledge, more than most of us living in South Florida know. I mean, he's up there in the Virginia, Maryland, D.C. area, and he's dropping some serious knowledge on local South Florida soccer scene. And he's not even down here. That's pretty damn impressive. So, I mean, granted, a lot of it's revolving around his adopted national team, Puerto Rico. But good stuff. Good stuff by Yankee. He informed me a little bit on that. I didn't know some of that stuff. I don't follow FIU, honestly. But, hey, how about former Fort Lauderdale Strikers forward Fafa Picault making his U.S. national team debut? Got his first cap. How about that? That's a proud moment for all Strikers fans. He's currently playing in Bundesliga 2 for FC St. Pauli, doing a good job there, I guess. And, you know, he got the national team's attention, gets to come in the game and play some 19 minutes against Puerto Rico. So that's awesome. I mean, really, really, really good stuff there. I'm excited to see, you know, anytime you see one of your former players moving up, doing well, that's great to see. It's, you know, good job by him. And thinking about the Strikers, you know, they played Ryo OKC and in OKC in Oklahoma and came out with a victory 2-1 against a pretty good team. At least everybody thought they were a good team on paper. They're sitting down kind of low in the standings. But before the season, a lot of people were talking about Ryo OKC, thinking they were going to be some real big player in the NASL this season. But Strikers, they haven't won a game at home, but you know, on the road they can win. And Angulo gets a goal, gets his first goal of the season on the header. And then how about that shot by Ramon Nunez? I mean, curled that ball from 30 yards out, something like that. I mean, beautiful free kick. I've seen him score those kind of free kicks back when he was in MLS, back when he was playing for FC Dallas. I went to a Dallas game once in Dallas, and I saw him do something very, very similar right there. So he is dangerous on any free kick. Nunez making a difference right off the bat. I mean, he gets in the team and instantly making an impact on the team. So and the Strikers sported out their all blacks, black and charcoal gray kit. Looking good in that kit. So I was happy to see that. I actually went out and bought that shirt as well. So happy to see them sporting that kit and doing well. And then they've got they're on the road again. Let's see, where are they playing? Strikers are traveling up to Ottawa. So both South Florida teams are playing a Canadian opponent. So you got Miami playing Edmonton down here in Miami, and then Strikers in Ottawa. You know, that's something I've noticed this season. I'm really happy about that. Both of these teams, I don't know if they really communicated much about this or this is all the league's doing, but the teams are really not competing. They're on the same nights in locally. So that's good. So the media doesn't have to pick. Fans can go to both games if they so choose. So that's good. I like to see that. But, you know, at this point, hey, it looks like we got our buddy Drew Houseman who's called into the show. He was a co-host of the show back when I was in Colombia, and he did such a terrible job that I said, hey, you need to call in and try to fix it, do better this time.
Hey, what's up, Peter? I'm good. I'm ready for my redemption.
Ready for your redemption. Let's first, I want to get your thoughts on. We were talking to Richie Ryan. I know you heard some of that interview. What do you think about your $750,000 player in Miami?
I mean, despite whatever financial situation it is, it's good to see the team, as Mitchell said earlier, go after a midfielder and actively, you know, try to fight their way back into the league. The only thing that kind of worries me is, you know, the Armada had them going for six games and they're hanging out on the bottom of the league with us. So, I mean, in theory, if we win next weekend and they draw or lose, we're right there with the Armada. So, it's going to be interesting. I like him. The other thing that I was kind of hoping that the team would at least address today was, the Michael Lahoud supposed transfer online. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Yeah, I'm seeing that right now. That supposedly our friend here, Pompano Tom, he was just putting that in the chat room. He's a big Philadelphia Union fan, so he's looking at it from the Union side of things. But it looks like Lahoud, how do you say it? Might be a plan for Miami FC. What do you think of that? Do you know anything about this guy?
I may be butchering his name. From what I've seen on Big Apple Soccer was that he was playing with the Cosmos, and then the Union actually recalled him specifically to sell him to Miami. So there's no NASL money being transferred between teams there, which I'm kind of happy about. He looks like a good midfielder. He used to play for Chivas USA, and he was an MLS draft pick.
Yeah.
Based off Wikipedia, it looks like he plays for the Sierra Leone national team, which I don't really know what that means or amounts to, but he's got international experience in another country, and it's another midfielder. So it looks like they kind of selected the areas that we were doing poorly at, and they kind of targeted the midfield. Although the team hasn't announced it, I actually went to his Twitter account, and he thanked all the Cosmos fans today and said thanks for the time he's had with them. So it looks like he's on the move. So pretty sure that's going to Miami.
Yeah, well, let's see. It sounds like maybe that's the case. I mean, he only had one appearance apparently in New York, so they didn't really use him much. But he's definitely got lots of MLS experience with Chivas. Played from 2009 to 2012, and then since then he's been with the Union except for a short little stint in Cosmos. So, yeah, I don't really know much about him either because I'm not a Union fan at all. Really don't watch many of their games, but, it looks like the team is making moves, in the areas where they really need it.
Yeah, what will be interesting now is if they actually have to now take a player off the squad and kind of – what I've seen some of online and some talk is about is does that mean Palacio, they may cut ties with him to kind of save
some
cool money
with that.
Because, I think everybody's kind of not too happy about that.
Look, all Palacio
is one of the poster boys of the initial team. But
but all he does is take up space. That's all he does there in the midfield.
I don't think he's played more than for 50 minutes of the game, and he came in –
out of shape.
Not in condition, but, I mean, come on, you played preseason 7 games, and, it was a long preseason, but it wasn't aggressive. We did the old-school NASL route of playing all college teams, so it's not like it should have been, a guy with former Premier League experience and Honduran national team experience playing, a couple guys from college shouldn't have been too hard to work yourself back up to the level.
Yeah, I think Palacios has been a big letdown every game I've seen. So I'd be cool with them cutting ties with him. But, if you're looking at money, that makes sense as I'm looking at the roster.
Well, yeah, and as you guys were talking with Mitchell earlier, it's kind of do we need the players to draw people into the stands? Because in that case, Palacios is a draw. Because you get the Honduran fan base because of his legacy over there. But at the same time, if he's playing 50 minutes a game and not doing very much, when does this turn around for him?
I think winning will help draw more people than Wilson Palacios' name.
Oh, for sure. And, it was rough too, because even at the Cosmos games, there was a lot of Venezuelan fans there, but we're discounting our tickets, but at the same time, we're still drawing okay numbers, regardless of the price of the tickets or whatever. I mean, hopefully everybody buys a hot dog and a hat to compensate for that. But, we're still doing, I don't think we've been below 3,000 a game. So hopefully that trend will continue with regular season games.
Hey, look, I've seen teams give away tickets years after years. It doesn't mean they show up. So people are showing up in Miami. That's good. They're not showing up in the big numbers that we saw in the first game, but they are showing up. And it's more than what we can say here in Fort Lauderdale. Nobody's showing up for the Fort Lauderdale Strikers, unfortunately. But, hey, speaking of the Strikers, you and I both went to see Miami United playing the Strikers U23. This is the first game for the Fort Lauderdale Strikers U23, the first NPSL game. This is what, the third game or so for Miami United, maybe a little bit more. And United.
There's one NPSL game and then the exhibition game. So,
exhibition game in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So Miami United killed Strikers 5-0. I mean,
yeah. That,
and And our buddy Guillermo is there calling the game from the, you know, in the stadium announcement. You got to admit, he sounded a little happy when he every time he would say strikers zero.
Yeah. Well, then it changed to strikers U23-0, but definitely for the goals there was a bit of enthusiasm and some double L rolling on the or double R rolling on the calls, but I mean it was a fun game. I was surprised that you know, some of the Strikers fans showed up. I know I saw, I think it was Neil and Strikers Fett showed up with the drums.
Yep.
There were a couple of Strikers family members there. And then at one point I saw, I think it was Jose Angulo and Manny Gonzalez at the game. And there was another player. So they definitely made an effort to. Yeah, exactly. Whatever you said.
The boss.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it was good to see the first team showing up and, you know, showing some support for the U23 team. But, yeah, Miami smoked them.
Smoked them bad. It was so
smoked
bad
them.
That
– And we didn't even have our number 10. We were only playing our 3+7 player that night, so.
But, you know what's funny is everybody that Miami United beats, they all say the same thing. And it was similar – I'm reading the article – some of the comments from the Strikers U23 coach, and the comments are always somewhere around, hey, they have a professional team, we have an amateur team. So that is one of the dynamics in the MPSL. You can have a professional squad or you can have an amateur squad. You can't quite mix it because you mess up the players' college, you know, playing in college, you know, you mess that up. But you know, it was clearly you've got Rambo out there, clear professional player. But what we got to talk about, what's the deal with having to do math? 3+7. Has anybody ever seen somebody's jersey that has a math problem on the back?
I was just upset there was not an equal sign to make it a little easier on us. You know,
yeah,
a couple of people were drinking in the stands, and I think it would have been a lot easier if we had the 3+7=10 to, you know.
I mean, some
educate us a little better.
That really was shocking when they came out, and at first I thought it was a 3.7, and I was like, okay, I thought that was odd, but it's a 3+. The guy wanted number 10 so bad that he made up a math equation so that he could still get his number 10. I mean, I have never seen only in MPSL, I guess. I mean, that's crazy. Hey, it's something to talk about. I tweeted that picture out on Facebook. That picture, I got a lot of comments on it. So if you haven't seen it, go to my Twitter page and I'll tweet it out again maybe. But 3+7. You know, next we're going to see some guys with some division, long division on the back of their shirt.
yeah, we're going to have to start flipping numerators and denominators. And I don't even remember how to do all that. But
And then –
The
then
other,
wait a minute.
The
then
really,
there was
oh yeah, yeah.
The goalkeeper that had tape. He didn't even have a number. He had a tape made up number on the back of his shirt, made completely of tape. They spent all their money on Adriano. They can't afford any numbers for the goalkeeper.
Well, what happened was is the Fusion took the goalkeeper from Miami United. So I'm thinking maybe they only pressed up the United guy's jersey and then. Last minute, they just said, "Hey, throw some white tape on the back," but you know that's it. It made the game fun.
It was fun.
It was
funny.
Especially, I mean, I hope you guys found some humor out of it because you know,
absolutely, because
we 3 lost 5-0. So at least, hey, you know, it's kind of like a little halftime show. Like, hey, there's the guy 3+7. The goalie's now wearing a hat. Now we changed the goalie. Both of them have duct tape on the back of their kits. There was a player that came out whose name was Pizzle on the back of his jersey. It was entertaining all night.
Yeah, you know, Roberto Saca, our buddy there at Miami United, I love having a little fun with his team, but he's doing a really good job there. He's made it entertaining. And you know, that wasn't a bad little crowd there for, you know, MPSL game. I don't know what the numbers were, but it wasn't terrible.
It was a couple hundred, and I mean, considering Adriano wasn't playing, you know, for a Sunday night in Hialeah, Florida at 7 p.m. You know, if you can pull a couple hundred people, you're doing something right. And hopefully this year they win the conference again, you know. It would be fun to see them in the Open Cup again. I think they ended up playing the first year they won it, not last year, or the first year
right.
they won their conference. They ended up playing, I think it was Chattanooga or somebody, but, you know, they put up a little fight, unlike Miami Fusion, who just got completely walloped by the Wilmington Hammerheads.
Yeah. Well, the Wilmington Hammerheads, they'll play Miami FC in the Open Cup match, June 4th?
Yeah.
When Strikers
yeah, this,
also
this
will
win.
Next
go
Wednesday.
Ahead, go ahead. Yeah,
next
yeah,
Wednesday.
Yeah. Sorry.
And then the Strikers are going to be playing the Richmond Kickers on the, it looks like, I think on the same night. So both teams playing USL clubs in the Open Cup. But hey, about Strikers U23, they're playing again. They got a quick turnaround. They're playing this Wednesday. They're playing at Lockhart Stadium against Craze United. Not sure how good or bad they are, but let's see if Strikers can do a little bit better than they did against the pink flamingo, the fighting flamingos.
Fighting flamingos. what I thought was interesting, I think you told me that they were actually starting their main team's third string keeper on that game, no?
Yeah. Yeah, he's like 17 years old. He's the third string. You know, he's just sitting on the bench. He's not getting any time. He's 17 years old.
Yeah.
So get him in the game. Get him some game time. That's what it's all about for the Strikers. You know, it's. You know,
yeah, no,
you know,
that's a great program.
It's all
too,
about development.
So. Yeah, exactly. Except his back line definitely didn't help him boost his confidence.
No. They had no defense. None of those players will be making their appearance on the first team anytime soon.
Yeah, any of the back four at least.
Right.
At one point, we were on pace to score 9 with a 90. We were getting a goal every 10 minutes. But when the half came, the lights went a little dim, and I think it just – Nacho got tired. He didn't want the hat.
Nacho Calcagno, who used to play for Miami FC, the original Miami FC. So he used to see him playing roaming the pitch with Romario back in the first couple years of Miami FC. So he's been around.
Oh, I didn't know that. So he was there in the Joe Saunders era.
Yes, he was.
Nice. I didn't know that.
You learn something new every
good.
Day.
I mean, yeah, he was good. I mean, he had a pretty solid game. You know, he looked a little out of the game towards the end. He was going on a hat trick and just kind of seemed to stop running. But at the same time, 5-0 Sunday night, you know, people got to watch Game of Thrones after the game, you know?
I still got to watch that. Well, you know, the one thing I got to say is, the Strikers, they did not play well, but I was so
excited.
Strikers
23 didn't play well.
Yeah. Well, okay. It was the only Strikers team I saw this weekend in person. Strikers U23. It's hard to say it every single time. U23, Strikers U23.
Yeah, yeah.
The MPSL squad. Here's the thing. The organization – the U23 team didn't do well in their first outing, but regardless of that, I am so excited that they are doing this and getting in the development process and really making it a true club. I like to see Miami FC do that in the next couple of years. They, you know, they're just starting out, so they got some time. It took Strikers quite a while to get this rolling, but this new ownership within their second year, they put together a developmental squad. Tampa Bay Rowdies are doing the same thing. So it's good for the NASL. It's good for, you know, there's been for years, there's been talk about some sort of partnership between the MPSL and NASL. There may not be a formal partnership, but it seems like quite a few teams are putting, NASL clubs are putting teams in the MPSL. And so that's really, really good for the league and good for the Strikers. And hopefully they grow some, players out of this and develop. And hey, they're U19 team. You know, they're going to be traveling soon, and they brought back Mark Anderson to go on a trip with them. So the Strikers legend that everybody loves. So he's going to be like their ambassador/assistant coach. So that's good to see them. They're starting to turn in more of a club. Now all I have to do is put some butts in the seats.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean the whole MPSL thing is great because it seems like in the obviously, MLS is in cahoots with the USL, and that's kind of their feeder league. So it's good to kind of see some of our guys go down but actually have development teams and not necessarily affiliates, so it's more closely knit and they don't have to worry about the contract mess and all that. But it's big steps. I mean, the NASL has taken a lot of big steps in the past couple of years, so hopefully they can, you know, kind of snowball effect and keep building off of this.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just looking up. The U19 team is playing in the Weifang Cup. It's there in China. So that's where they're heading off to in July, July 24th through the 30th. So this is an annual tournament there in the Chinese Football Association puts together in Weifang, China. So that's good. They're heading back to China. This team is heavily focused. This organization is heavily focused on China.
Definitely. Hopefully they don't all come back tired and unfit for the beginning of their season.
Well, it's the U19, so it's all about development. That's fine. That's fine. They can develop. But, the one thing I need them to start focusing on is Fort Lauderdale, not just China. Just, let's focus on some people in Fort Lauderdale, guys. Let's get some butts in the seats.
Yeah.
But, all right, that's about it, Drew. Thanks for helping me wrap this sucker up. And I do better when I have someone to talk to instead of just talking to myself.
Exactly,
so thanks for jumping in. You definitely redeemed yourself. You brought it tonight. You were solid. So
thanks a lot.
So the
I'll
solid
set
effort
my
by
award
by
at
you.
The next Miami FC home game I hope to see you at.
Yeah, I will not be at this game because unfortunately, and I really want to be there because Richie Ryan, but I want to see him in person. But I will be in Mickey's house this weekend. It is a holiday weekend, so I'll be traveling up to Orlando. But we will still be doing a show on Monday. I will definitely make sure I'm back in time to do the show on Monday night, and we'll bring another solid guest. And Uncle Ed should be back in the country by then. If immigration lets him in, and he'll join us next week, and we'll bring another great guest for you. Hey, everybody, thanks for calling in. Thanks for chatting and listening live. If you missed any of this interview, it was a great interview with Richie Ryan. Missed any of it, go over to ultrasalive.com, click on the iTunes link, or click on the Stitcher radio link, and listen to the show with you anywhere you want, in the car or whatever. That's what I do. So thanks so much to Miami FC for helping us get Richie Ryan, and go check them out this Saturday, 8 p.m. at FIU. That's where
and
Drew will be.
And that's all, folks.
Exactly.
That's all, folks.